The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.
Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne is brought to you by Northwell Health. Visit them online at northwell.edu. Welcome to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. I am Lorianne Kazdia. Our goal here at Healthy Lifestyle is to inspire, educate, and empower you to fulfill a healthy emotional, spiritual, and physical life so you can feel empowered to live the life you have always wanted and dreamed. Welcome to the show, and I hope you're having a beautiful day. It is glorious. I do enjoy the fall, but I enjoy all times of the year. Not a big fan of the cold, but I still find the joy in it. Today, we have a special guest on. Her name is Joyce Davis. She is a nurse navigator. We're going to explain what that is in a moment. She is a mom of three children. She returned to college part-time in 2002 to begin her prerequisites for nursing school. Her dream was to attend Molloy College to pursue a bachelor's degree in nursing. And that dream came true. I love it when dreams come true. And she graduated in 2009 with her degree. And during the summer of 2009, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and had a lumpectomy 3 weeks prior to beginning her senior semester. Can you believe it? She completed 28 radiation treatments, superhero, during her semester and graduated in December. She passed her boards February 2010, and it took 8 months until she was hired by Huntington Hospital. You know, you all know I have a history with Huntington Hospital. I was a candy striper there when I was growing up. She's in the Huntington Hospital Oncology Unit, and she did her due diligence and worked the overnight shift for 2 years. She really paid her dues before becoming the nurse navigator for breast services. Then there was something she needed to do. Her first task was to pursue the national accreditation of breast centers for Huntington Hospital. And as of today, guess what? Of course, she accomplished that as well. She has been able to have them reaccredited 3 times, and they have a very robust breast program. And I love it, love it, love it when good things come out of really challenging situations. Please welcome to the show, Joyce Davis. Joyce, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
Oh my goodness. Your story just gives me chills from head to toe. Yeah. I am all about achieving and following your dreams. You did that, check. I'm all about, you know, going through big tragedies and turning them into big successes for you. Check. You are working in the very unit that actually helped you through a bad situation, right? Through your challenges.
Yes.
That's amazing. Amazing. So let's get down to it, because I promised our listeners I would. What is a nurse navigator? I love that title. I want it.
So a nurse navigator, a little bit of background on the nurse navigation. It came about because what was happening was they were finding women who were underserved in the public. So women who were either uninsured or underinsured weren't getting proper screenings or access to the type of medical care they needed. So they were finding that because of that, that these types of populations were going without, and we were finding a much higher rate of breast cancer in these women. So they started up a navigation program years ago, and what it was a point of contact for women in these types of populations that they could reach out to them, and these navigators would help get them to the different types of screenings or the different doctors they needed to see. So it was kind of along the lines of what a social worker does, but these women were actually RNs. So they had the medical and the clinical background to, you know, this education that they brought with them, and they were able to help these women, you know, appropriately place them where they needed to be. And we found that with this type of service, you know, having a point of contact sometimes just that's out in your community or in your local hospital, or, you know, that's recommended to you by, say, your doctor's office, you know, it's a little more comforting sometimes than just trying to reach out to, say, a physician and getting the answers you need. So it just kind of gave them that middle person that was a liaison between themselves and the navigator, and then the navigator would act as liaison with the doctor.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So was able to provide these women with the services they needed.
Yeah, you also act as not only navigation, but as a translator. So you take all the technical information and you're able to put it in a package that is easier to digest by the woman that you're working with, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When, you know, navigation, sometimes you'll hear, you know, it's a very loose term, and not all navigators are nurses. There are lay navigators in different types of fields. There's also social workers who can be navigators. When Huntington Hospital or Northwell, actually, I was the second navigator in the Northwell system, and they wanted to have a registered nurse in this role. Yeah. They wanted to have the clinical backgrounds to be able to help these women. And sometimes you'll find, you know, there is a difference between like inpatient and outpatient navigators. So the other navigator that we had through Northwell was an outpatient navigator. She worked at the Monter Cancer Institute.
Sure.
So, you know, some of the roles that she had were, you know, getting those patients in, getting their appointments set up, their treatment plans, and all of that is usually done as an outpatient. You know, they have these now, you know, most people don't come into the hospital for chemotherapy anymore.
Right.
Most of your oncologists all have these outpatient infusion suites. And this is where those patients were being seen. And Monter Cancer Institute actually has that. So once they would get them set up, they would go and they would meet the patient. But most of their background was to be, you know, getting them in and making their appointments and having them set up so they didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And I know from my mom passed from breast cancer. And so back in 2006, they didn't have anybody in roles like this. And
right.
I know that there's just so much that you're dealing with and trying to manage and just not knowing. It's hard to navigate waters that you've never been down before. It's like when I first had my first son and I went to elementary school to ask some questions. The woman in the office was getting aggravated with all my questions. And she's like I should know what the answers are. And I just stopped her in the middle and I said, I know I'm annoying you. I'm so sorry. This is my first rodeo with this. So I don't know how to navigate was exactly what I said to her.
Right.
I said, I don't know how to navigate. I'm looking for your advice. I know you must say this a million times and think I'm just the silliest person in the world, but I really need to understand this so I can, you know, I can navigate and help guide my son through preschool and, you know, kindergarten and stuff like that. So same with this, with my mom, we had nobody. Thankfully, my brother is a doctor. And he was able to communicate what, you know, what the doctor really said was. It was almost like he was the subtitle announcer on what the doctors were saying and connecting all the doctors together. Because at one point during her treatment, and this happened years ago, not so much now, and definitely not in Northwell. And I'll tell you why I said it that way, is years ago, you had all different doctors doing different things. And she had doctors all over the place. And they weren't talking to each other. So there was no you know, coach in the meeting. There was nobody quarterbacking everything that was going on. Now, especially in Northwell Health, I'm noticing, and every time we have a professional on, I'm hearing that everybody coordinates with everyone. So having someone who's a navigator who, one, understands the lingo, understands what they're saying in their technical language, and is able to communicate and educate the person going through everything, the patient, and the patient's family, to also keep them empowered with information is so important. And I just love what you do as a navigator. That's what you do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I do. We know just in our everyday lives, right? You know, you go to the doctor, there's a medical bill, that you get your explanation of benefits. Everything is so confusing and there's so many steps to it. And then you get handed a diagnosis. And, you know, what we say to patients is, it's a crisis, right? It's a crisis in your life. You know, you heard that C word, you know, and it's something that then takes you to a whole other level. You know, you start, of course, our minds go to bad things, and we need to rope you back in. We need to explain to you this new language. I tell my patients, you're going to learn a new vocabulary.
Yes.
And it's scary because sometimes when you look at a report or somebody reads you your report and you hear these words, just the sound of some of these words are terrifying.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I mean, and it's, you know, it's not a large number, but, you know, we say that 85% of the time, you know, it's benign. It's not a large number of women who are coming back with malignancies.
Right.
But to hear some of these words sounds terrible.
Well, also, benign sounds bad.
Exactly.
Even though it's good, it sounds bad.
It sounds bad.
Yeah, and malignant, it starts with mal, which in another language means is bad.
Exactly.
So that's why they do malignant. But yeah, you hear some of these terms and you're like, I don't know. And there's different levels. There's all different levels. I was told that I had, you know, a cyst, and I'm like, is that a bad thing? I don't know if that's a bad thing.
Right.
And they're like, well, we have to see it because we don't know what kind of cyst. I'm like, oh, there are different kinds of cysts. Is this a bad?
Yeah.
Of course, we all go to worst case scenario.
Of course we do.
And someone like you, it was another navigator, brought me back to center and went, okay, let's just take a breath. Let's find out what we have first, and then let's see what our options are. And I've always worked that way. It's like, okay, let me find out what my options are. I feel very unempowered until I find out, okay, what is it first? And then what are our options? Are there any options? And generally now there's lots of different options. It's just you have to decide what's right for you, right? And
right.
You help guide them with that. So there are different types of navigators. You had mentioned inpatient navigators, outpatient navigators. Do you need a certain special certification to be a navigator?
No. You don't. What we do ask, you know, in all of the units in the hospital, but we do ask, you know, nurses who are staying in a specific area, there are specialized certifications for each area, you know. So oncology nurses through the ONS, which is our Oncology Nursing Society, can get their OCN, oncology certified nurses.
Mm-hmm.
So what they can do is they can get, you know, that type of a certification. And what that does is, you know, it just means that you are educated specifically in that area. You speak the lingo.
Yeah.
You can you can explain the treatments. You can, you know, help that patient understand, you know, what's going to happen, what the side effects, what your options are. So in all the different areas, emergency room, operating room, they all have their own certifications. The certification that's out there for someone like me is called the CBCN, and that's a certified breast care nurse. And that's also through our Oncology Nursing Society. Probably in the last 5-6 years, they had started coming out with a nurse navigator type of certification. It wasn't through an accredited society like ONS.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get it if you went to certain conferences. It's not required. We do hear, you know, require nurses to get a certification in their specialty. It's good practice. It's good practice for yourself because you are always furnished with the most updated education. Whatever comes out new, you're taught that. You have the opportunity to learn. You have to keep up on your your certification.
Sure.
You
yeah.
have to keep up getting all your, you know, educational credits throughout. So you're always on top of things. It's good for you and it benefits your patient.
Yeah, but what I like too, and you're right, certifications usually do, but what I really like is life experience really outweighs any kind of certification or education.
Sure.
Because it's life education and you really understand what people are going through. And what I love what you have, Joyce, is you have the combination. Unfortunately, you went through it, but you also know what they're going through. So I think it does it make you more, I don't want to use the word sensitive, but
right.
does it, you're more understanding of what they're going through. So you could, it's more relatable. That's the word I was looking for. You're more relatable to what they're going through, as opposed to maybe that secretary in the elementary school who was annoyed as could be at me not understanding because probably she hadn't gone through it, or she had gone through it so long ago, she forgot, you know, how nervous new moms are, right?
Exactly.
So you went through it. You don't forget something like that. And, you know, I'm a life and business coach. So when I'm out there, I've been in business. I've had my own business. I've worked for other businesses. So I bring all these tools with me. And that, in addition to all my certifications, makes a really nice package. And I love the fact that there's a certain level, again, that Northwell Health as an organization has a certain standard to have navigators like yourself with certification. How does a navigator differ from a social worker?
So a social worker will arrange, you know, when you first stepped into the hospital, okay, and you're admitted, your discharge planning has begun. Okay, that starts the moment you are admitted. We start working on your discharge planning. And what that means is we're going to get everything in a row of whatever it is you're going to need to safely discharge you from here to home. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be coordinated with case management. Do you need a hospital bed? Do you need certain equipment? Do you need to go to a facility? So they take you to the point of discharge and get you to whichever safe place you're going to, whether it could be, you know, a rehab facility, it could be a long-term care, it could be home.
Gotcha.
A navigator now usually starts with the patient the moment they hear the words that they have breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they take that patient right through survivorship.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, I'm an inpatient navigator. So what that means is my office is right here on our oncology unit. I deal with the women when they're coming in for their surgery. And some women are having surgery prior to treatment. Some women are coming for surgery after treatment. Depends on their diagnosis. So I usually begin with them at diagnosis. We will, you know, what I usually have them do is, you know, contact me, tell me what's going on with them. I have a very good rapport with all of our doctors that we work with that are on these teams. You know, I always tell the patient, I've now joined your team, because that's what it is. It's team care. So now I'm part of your team. And what that is another resource for you. So that patient will speak with me and say, okay, this is what I've been told. I'm going for a second opinion. They told me this, or I heard this, or my neighbor told me this. And we kind of break it down. You know, and we talk about what the best treatment plan for that patient.
Or Dr. Google told me this.
Well, yeah.
It's so dangerous.
One of the first things that I say to my patients is to be very careful about, you know, if they're big, you know, Googlers and everything. And what we do is we give them reputable websites to look at that our doctors also give them. Yeah. You know, a lot of times what they hear from me, they've heard already. They heard it from their oncologist. They've heard it from their breast surgeon. They might have heard it from their plastic surgeon. But they say you hear a third when you're in a crisis like this, or you hear every other word. So to repeat what they say drives it home.
It's like going into an information tunnel. All of a sudden, you just nothing. I know when I'll perform or something. At the end, I can see people clapping, but I can't hear it.
You can't hear them.
I can't hear it because you're in this state, right?
Right.
Now I can, but at the beginning, I was terrified, and so I would like hear nothing, and it's a weird thing. So the same thing when you hear bad information or bad news, something like that, something even sometimes it's good news, you just go completely deaf. The same thing happens when you're listening. That's why I'm an advocate for having an advocate with you anytime you're in the hospital.
Yes.
That's why the recent scenario where, you know, family members aren't allowed into the hospital with you when you're that to me is just a nightmare. I don't think it should be allowed in any circumstance, as long as the person's aware of what they're doing by coming in. You need somebody to be your voice, so you could feel uncomfortable and you could feel sad and you can lean on them and you have that no trust factor with them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what the navigator seems to be doing, is you're walking through this like a sister.
Exactly.
And stepping with them in step with information that empowers. So information will always empower you, right?
Right.
And that's what you're doing. You're providing information, clarification, like I can find any information I want to find backing up any argument I have on, you know, if I go to Dr. Google. And I don't recommend it. That's why I laughingly call it that, because people are like right online and looking at things. And I'm like, why are you going there? Go to your professional. They have the inside scoop. They're up to date. They know your particular case. That's a generic scenario that you're looking at. And I can find you three more websites that says completely opposite of what this website says. So,
exactly.
So you need to take a breath and go to people like yourself who just amazing. I think it was really cool that you were the second nurse navigator in all of the North Wales health system. I think that's like the coolest thing. It's like we're talking to the real thing.
We learned from each other. You know, it was very interesting.
Yeah, but you also got the opportunity to set the tone and blaze
Absolutely.
The trail. So you're a superhero, Joyce, but not only with what you went through, and God bless you for going through it, but coming out and helping someone on the other side while you're doing it is just amazing to me. And it goes back to, and I'm going to get a little woo-woo on my listeners, but it goes back to what I say, universe always provides you with the tools you need in order to get you through the situations it gives you.
Exactly.
So, and that you were coming out to be a nurse anyway, it just is amazing to me. But not only did you do that, but you actually got the accreditation, the national accreditation of breast centers for Huntington Hospital. So I'm telling you, they should be, you know, having ticker tape parades for you, because that is totally amazing. I want to continue this conversation. You're listening to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. We're going to bring Joyce Davis back for the second half. We're going to continue talking about specifics about speaking with a navigator and how to get one if you need one, the benefits of having a national accredited breast cancer center in our right in our location, right in our area, all of those benefits, and learn more about this superhero that we have on our show today. So we will be right back. Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne is brought to you by Northwell Health. Visit them online at northwell.edu. Well, welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. I am Lorianne. So if you have any questions, comments, or other guests you'd like to hear more from or about, please drop us a message at healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. That's healthylifestylewithla, that stands for Lorianne, @gmail.com. I respond to every single one. My team is always really good about that, and we appreciate your input. We are speaking with Joyce Davis. She's a nurse navigator with the Northwell Health System, and she's just a superhero. I just want to mention, my mom obviously went through, obviously because I mentioned it in the first segment, went through a breast cancer. She had to navigate in a time when we didn't have nurse navigators, and the family surrounded her and tried to help, my brother being major direction and assistance to her through the fact that he was in the medical profession as a doctor. He's a neonatologist, which is completely opposite. He's a baby doctor for 5 pounds or less. But having people like that in our lives to advocate for us, to help us educate, to help us make better decisions. When we make decisions and it's informed decision, we make better decisions, right? So having you, Joyce, and welcome back to the show, by the way, having you on, you know, in our corner is so wonderful.
Thank you.
I really, really do mean that from the bottom of my heart. So what's the benefits of speaking to a nurse navigator?
I find that with what my patients, the feedback I get from my patients is it's a much more relaxed atmosphere. So whether it's sitting across the desk from me, it's a phone call, it's more like talking to your friend. You know, we all get amnesia when we speak to our doctors, including myself.
Yeah.
You know, the questions at all, you know, roll around in our heads until that doctor picks up the phone, and then all of a sudden you can't think of anything. You know, it's more, instead of it being more clinical, it's more of a friend basis.
Yeah.
When I pick up the phone, and you know, you get to really personally know your patients and their families. You know, like we said, you know, you talked about having advocates here, you know, to listen in, and sometimes they're the ones that remember the questions that you had, you know, that you've now forgotten as you're sitting here with the deer, you know, in the headlights. But it's also the concerns about the other people in your life, you know, especially as women. And I'm not knocking men, but what I'm saying is, you know, we're moms, we're wives, we hold careers. You know, we get faced with something like this, and the next thing you know, we're thinking about all the things that we have to take care of. And my ladies who come in, and they're going to be facing surgery, and they're thinking, okay, I have to cook, I got to clean, I got to have everything in order before, you know, I'm able to do this. So we kind of sit down and we laugh about that, you know. And what I'll say to them is like, okay, what is your one concern, you know, about coming in here and you know, having your surgery? And most of the time, it's not about the actual surgery. It's more about, well, I got to get the child care set up. I've got to get the ride set up because, you know, our children are so active these days. And so sometimes it's a matter of providing them with resources out there, whether it's somebody to come in and clean the house, whether it's, you know, it's a child care type of a thing. I have lists of resources. People want to volunteer their resources too for women who are going through this. And you know what? And I should include the men. There's 1% of men that can have, you know, that get breast cancer. It's a very small population, but it's still there. So there are a lot of resources out there, and I can provide them with that. So when they speak to me, it's more on the personal level. It's not always about the clinical stuff and about the treatment or the surgery. I mean, we do talk about that at length. You know, I ask them if this is the first time they've ever had surgery, what's their biggest concern coming to the hospital? What are you worried about?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's so many responsibilities that both men and women have that we go to that place. It's also, honestly, it's a good distraction. It's a really good distraction. So, okay, we know we have breast cancer. We know we have to take action. We know that you're talking us about, you know, taking these steps, but also we also know we have these other things. It acts as a good distraction. We're able to focus on something else for a second, and we inherently are in a better place when we're serving someone else. And that's why I think both men and women go to that place, not only because they have responsibilities and they feel obligated and responsible, not to be redundant, but that's exactly what it is. But also it acts as a bit of a distraction. Sometimes I know I said this to my mom, I'm like, don't worry about that now. And she's like, can you let me worry about that right now? Because it gives me something else to think about. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes that's good. So having someone like yourself to say, okay, I got resources. Now, what's your next question? You're almost like, I had a mentor years ago, love him, Jack. And he would always say next, and because he would have a line at his door with his employees waiting for whatever, you know, question they had or issue they had. And that's basically what you do. You're like, okay, we took care of the child care. Next, what's the next thing? I love it.
Right.
I think it's great that you're there. I think it's empowering that somebody has you in their corner.
Well, you know, that's you know, you've used that word empower. And I say to my patients when they come in and I say to them, listen, you probably feel like all your power has been stripped of you because we tell you, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to go here, you have to have this test, you have to make these huge decisions in short amount of time. And I'm here to empower you, give you back your power. You are here to make these decisions, not me, not even your loved one that might be sitting next to you. You know, this is about you.
Yes.
You are your own advocate.
Yes.
You have choices, you know, and sometimes it's just a matter of saying that to them that it does. You can see it change in their face. They're like, you're right. This is my body. I'm going to make the best decision for me.
Yeah.
And it helps. It helps them to feel that way before they start anything.
Yeah.
Because they do feel like, okay, I still have control. It's a horrible feeling to feel that, you know, that control has been stripped of you, especially when you're going through something so horrific as this. So I try to pump them up, be their cheerleader, you know, on their shoulder if they need somebody to cry on. When they come in, I see them the morning before surgery just because they can. You know, it's a familiar person amongst all these other people that are seeing them.
Yeah.
When they come down, they come to my floor. I am hands-on with my patients.
Yeah, it's scary when you have all these people coming to you and checking things and you don't know what they're doing, why they're there. They don't introduce themselves. And I'm noticing more and more that patient care is more holistic. And I love that. And as it should be, it was like the guy came in and he would look at your arm. He never made eye contact, wouldn't even introduce himself. I'm like, who are you and why are you doing that before you touch me? Because it's the empowerment of giving permission for them to do that. Even though you know that you got to do it, you still want the ability to say yes or no to things. And I so get that because I'm a nervous Nelly. I've only had one procedure, and that one procedure, it was just a terrifying, and it wasn't anything that you went through, but it was terrifying because I had to give over control because I knew they were going to take away my control as soon as they put me under anesthesia, and I had to trust all these people to do what they said they were going to do.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, that's something that's running through your mind. And then you sign these papers that, oh my gosh, you basically sign your life away. And it's scary as all could be. So you explaining it and walking you through. And then on top of that, you have family members who are losing their minds because they're scared and they don't have the answers. So for them, do they get to ask you questions too?
Yes, they do. And I also ask whoever the patient is sitting with me or on the phone with me, you know, I offer my services to whoever they want me to speak with, whether it's their children, their spouse, their significant other, siblings, whoever. As long as I have their permission, I tell them anybody can call me.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, and that they can call me and I know that I can speak with them. Because, you know, sometimes the questions that those people, the other people have in their lives, they don't want to ask it in front of the patient.
Yes.
So I will get those phone calls.
Yeah, I wish I had somebody like you when my mom was going through it, because I couldn't talk to the people I wanted to. And I had my reservations and, you know, they were making certain recommendations and I wasn't even sure if mom was aware of all her choices.
Right.
And that's all I look at is if you're giving us a 360 view, what if this, what if that, can we do this? What about this? What are the percentages? If you're giving a 360 view, but I wasn't even sure that that was going on. So I thought, you know, sometimes we make decisions based on the information we have at that moment when we're making a decision.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we're not making it in a bubble and going, oh, I wish you had told me that. It's like when somebody says to me, oh, I wish you told me you needed blah, blah, blah. I know somebody.
Right.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate that.
I know.
Right? So the same with
Absolutely.
You. So you're able to 360 not only the family, but you can help the patient and give them a sense of calmness, control, as much as control as we can actually have. And the control is in the knowledge. It's in understanding what's happening to you, understanding what your options are so you can make the best decisions. And that's when I can relax, is when I know I'm in good hands. I've made the best decision. I know why I made the decision and I can rest comfortably, you know, and
exactly.
And and I know my mom was really good at comforting us, oddly enough. She was so good at making us feel comfortable. And I would be like, Mom, we should be comforting you. And she goes, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Well, as a mom, that's what we do, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you know what? Because she feels better being able to do that also. She's reassuring you that she's making the right decisions and choosing the right people to take care of her.
And that's reaffirming her choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's
so
very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my patients when they come in here, listen, unfortunately, I can't take away your diagnosis. I can't take the cancer away. But I can try to reduce whatever stress or concerns that you have or your family has, that we can get the answers that they want, you know, and they know that it's a matter of me either picking up the phone and calling their doctor while they're sitting right in front of me, because that's the kind of relationship we have here at Huntington Hospital. And I mean, I speak from my unit particularly, that we have this unbelievable respect for each other, and we have such a great rapport with our doctors. We honestly work as a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I have a concern about a patient or think that, gee, maybe we could charge this instead of this, you know, and they're open to it, and, you know, I'll say to the patient, listen, whatever request you have, let's try it. You know, as long as it doesn't contraindicate with anything that's going on. And they know that I can text the doctor, I can call the doctor, I'm in the room with them, with the doctor. I'm in there when, you know, if there's a question, the nurse will always call me in as the second set of eyes, you know, if it's something we have to assess, say, from surgery or not.
Right.
And it's that consistent, familiar face.
Well,
you know,
also what you bring, and this is a gift of survivorship, is you bring to this your ability to share your own experiences. So you're coming from a place of knowing, and that's comforting when I know that somebody understands. You have this kind of dialogue, you it's like an almost an inside conversation, because you've been through it, we're going through it, and that combination is just calming, because it's like you're not talking out of a textbook, you're talking reality. Hey, I know where you're going through. I did it myself. And that's I think very inspiring. And even though you can't take away their diagnosis, you definitely reduce the worry, the concern of your patients. Yeah. You give them this mindset, and I'm a mindset mentor. And so setting someone's mind at ease allows them to recover faster. Setting right. their understanding and believing the course that they're choosing to take, and that's the important part, is choosing to take, because it is their body. By taking those steps of choice, that's empowering. That helps with survivorship. I know my mom lasted 5 years longer than she was supposed to because she had such a positive attitude. Everything was like, it's okay. Today's another day. We're going to be fine. And it's that positive, robust thought process that really keeps us going. And I don't underestimate that in any way, shape, or form. And that's why you're such a gift. And that's the gift in your survivorship that you're translating and you're sharing with all these women.
I had never realized, you know, when I first started this, you know, you're taught in nursing school, you know, you're not talking about yourself. You're not talking about your experiences. It's always patient focused. I didn't tell people.
Yeah.
It happened to slip out. I was running the support group here, and it happened to slip out by someone else that I also was a survivor. And it changed the atmosphere in the room. And I always preface my speeches with, it's not about me, it's about you, but you are always welcome to ask me anything.
Sure.
You know, and just like I tell women, you know, we diagnose you and we tell you you have A, B, and C, and I could tell the person sitting next to them that they have A, B, and C also, and we're going to treat you with X, Y, and Z, and we're going to treat the other person with X, Y, and Z, but your experiences are going to be totally different.
Yeah.
It's different because of what you bring to the table. It is your mental state.
Yes.
It's, you know, some people, it's their comorbidities. It could be their age, and I always say to them, what I went through is different than what you're going to go through, but you are always, always welcome to call me throughout. I don't care how many years later, I still hear from patients, you know, did you happen to go through this? And sometimes it's not a physical thing. It's more of the emotional,
yeah,
the psychological part of
yeah.
it, you know, and I'm very open.
I think, and I love that about you. I think, you know, you hit on something that's very, very important to revisit, which is we can physically really get over just about anything. Our bodies are amazing.
Right.
And with all the dynamics and all the science that we have available to us and these trained doctors that we have available to us, we're very blessed that we have this in our country and access to it. The accessibility is great, but our bodies can get over it. What will help our bodies get over it easier and better and quicker is our mindset. If we believe it and see it in our mind and see the success, it allows us to take those next steps, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your why?
Yeah.
Why do you do what you do?
My why?
Yep.
My patients are the inspiration. They don't even know how much they help me on a daily basis. So when I graduated nursing school, oncology was not my first choice because I had just gone through it. My worry was that I wasn't, would I ever be able to get out of that mindset, you know, hearing the stories and everything. And it just happened that this is where I landed. And I can't imagine not being here because every day I learn something from somebody. It, sometimes it's not a patient. Sometimes it's a colleague, you know, and we have a mix of what's on the floor as far as types of cancer and everything. And, you know, my specialty is breast and now GYN, but I learn things from people all the time.
Yeah.
And when I was running, I wasn't offered a support group when I went through it. And I probably wouldn't have gone anyway because it wasn't something that I ever thought was for me. They have no idea. I mean, I have shed probably as many tears as they have, if not more at times, because it's made me rethink, you know, things in my own head. And I just, that's the inspiration. And the inspiration is to keep these people going,
yeah,
you know, and letting them know that this is not a death sentence. You know, we hear the cancer word. It's what we worry about every time we go for a mammo. This is going to be it. This is it. Today's the visit. They're going to tell me they see something,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and that we have to face this, but how they get through it. And the women who are diagnosed and maybe, you know, they have a long rough road ahead of them. And some of them just do it with such
grace.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me.
I've seen some people walk through it with grace and ease, and it's just amazing. And I sit there and go, geez, I don't know if I could do it this way. And it's it. And those are the women who I see really just do amazing things at the same time as going through it. Similar to you, you went through your senior year of school while you were having your treatments.
That's
amazing. And we need to focus on that fact. You know, we need to focus on the fact that you took what you went through and now you're helping other people. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve each other. And you took something that was terrifying for you, right? And you turned
it very personal.
Very personal, and turned it into something where you help other women not have those same fears, not feel those same things, not have to go through what you went through. And that's just such a gift. And Joyce, I hope you realize the gift that you give those women and those men every single day that you're there, because it really does make a difference. And you're just an angel on earth for doing that. And I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I'm so intrigued by nurse navigators now. I'm like, I want to be one when I grow up.
Never too late.
Yeah, except that passing out thing at blood is just not a good thing. But
you don't always have to deal with that.
That's true.
Know?
That's very true. But you're just a kind soul, and you can hear it in your voice
and
everything that you do. So thank you for what you do. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Reach out, for anybody out there, reach out. I'm available. It's not, yes, I serve the patients here. I would love to get my support group back up and running again. We're trying. It has nothing to do with here. It's just, the comfort level of some people of not being able to meet in person and do it over a computer. And sometimes it's an age-related type of stigma. I can't use the computer. How am I going to talk over the computer or the phone or whatever?
Right.
Seek out people who, who are there to positively reinforce you.
Yes.
I always tell the patients, if someone is coming to you or you're online looking at these blogs or forums, stay away from the negativity. I find it's easier for people to complain than it is for them to pay a compliment. And I don't know whether you'll hear somebody ever say, well, I had a great experience with breast cancer, but what they might say is like, my journey wasn't as bad as I thought. I had a lot of people backing me. I had a lot of positive reinforcement. And that's what you need to find. Whatever you're going through in life, you've got to find the silver lining.
Absolutely. You got to find the joy. Oh my gosh, Joyce Davis. I say that all the time on here. Joyce, thank you for being on here today on Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. If you want to reach out, I think you can go to northwell.edu and find Joyce Davis online. Otherwise, you could email her. I'm giving it out, Joyce.
Sure.
jdavis12@northwell.edu. Reach out to this wonderful woman. Unbelievable. Joyce, I just want to have you back. You are such an inspiration. I love what you do. Thank you all for joining us today on Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. My heart is lifted by sharing this time with you, and I really appreciate that you choose to listen to us when you could be listening to other things. So thank you again for joining us on Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne Kasdia. Until next time, what do? You play a higher role, serve a higher purpose, show up for you, and yes, show up big. Have a great day, everyone.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.